In your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Am I the only one in here tonight that is stubborn? I got some laughter. I got people. Ooh, I even heard some slapping back there. I seen it, but I'm not going to call you out because I don't want to do those things. But we are stubborn people, are we not? If somebody has something that you needed to help you in life, would you take it or would you be stubborn about it? And say, no, I'm going to do it on my terms. I don't need anybody else's help. You say, what help in what other areas? Well, anything, finances, health, whatever you can think of. A lot of us are stubborn, and we try to do things on our own. And that's where I've been the last few days. I put my back out Saturday. It was fine Saturday. I knew I did something to it. Sunday was pretty bad. It didn't seem to be bothering me that much, but it was bad. Monday got worse. Yesterday got worse. And I knew there was a problem that I had, and I knew where I can go to get it fixed. But my German that's inside me that causes me to be stubborn, saying, no, I'll take care of it. I can do what I need to do at home to fix my back. And I would try everything that I could. I've been to the chiropractor enough times. I know how to adjust my back the way he does sometimes. And I tried those things, and it wasn't working for me this time. I got a little bit of relief last night. You know the arms that are on the couch? If you guys don't know what the arm is on the couch, then you don't obviously have a couch. But the arm on the couch, I put my back on it last night and kind of hung over, and I got a little bit of relief. It kind of did some popping back there. But I woke up today, and it's just, man, it wasn't much better. I'm fine walking around. It's the getting up part. Once I get up, it's hard for me to stand straight up right away. That's when the pain really comes. And I said, you know what? I'm getting too old for this junk. And it's time for me to stop being stubborn and go to somebody that I... Mom, I'm just glad you're listening tonight. It's like, you know, I'm done being stubborn. I can't fix this. I even did the... I've soaked in a tub for 3 days. I'm not Jonah here. I did Epsom salt last night. That kind of helped a little bit, but you know what? There's somebody out there that can help me. Why didn't I take advantage of it? So I called my doctor this morning, my chiropractor, said, hey, I need to get in. He goes, okay, come on in. So I got in there about 4:45, and I tell you what, he did a number on me, and I felt a little bit of relief after that, but I'm still a little bit sore. I'm telling you this for this reason. We have a God who wants to help us. But you know what stops him from helping us? Our stubbornness. We think that we can do everything by ourselves. And in reality, we can't do everything by ourselves. We as individuals need to realize that we need help. I know us guys, it's hard for us to say, I need help. But it's okay to be in that deal. It's just something that was just on my mind. I want to share with you. Aren't you glad I shared that with you tonight? Yes. All right. Turn your Bibles, if you haven't already, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. I gave you plenty of time to get to this tonight. And we're going to go through verse number 15. I apologize if I go through the verses fast. It's just something I do when I feel like I have a lot on my mind that I'm trying to get through things. But Hebrews, chapter number 15, we're going to read this verse tonight. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I want you folks to read this along with me. So at the count of three, all of us together with a strong voice, let's read verse number 15. 1, 2, 3. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this night that you've given us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you have bestowed upon our lives this week. Lord, a lot of these things go unnoticed by us, and And we need to, as your children, recognize how great you are to us. And so, Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you bestowed upon us. Forgive us where we failed you in not recognizing these things. But God, as we go through your word tonight, I pray that you would challenge us from your word. And Lord, as we deal with a kind of a touchy issue, Lord, help it to be enlightening to us. Lord, help us not to allow any type of bitterness spring up in our lives. We know what it causes. And we know the harm and the damage that it can do. So God, I pray that you bless us as we go through your word. And we ask you these things, your name. Amen. Well, I'm going to be totally blunt with you right now. And that is this. I have a hard time with bitterness. It's very easy for me to get mad at an individual and to harbor those feelings in and allow it to fester, to become angry, then to let it go to the next level and become bitter at an individual. So I'm here being totally open and being totally honest with you tonight. This is something that I struggle with. And so I know if I struggle with this, there's folks in here tonight and also out in the video world that struggle with this as well. And it's something that you and I need to have control in our lives. Why is that? Well, because bitterness can cause, as I said in my prayer, a lot of harm, not only just to an individual, but it can cause harm to families. How often have we seen families go at it with one another because they're not willing to let a stupid thing go? Think about that. We've all been in that situation. And I've come to realize why that takes place. And this might surprise you, but it takes place because of pride. That's why that takes place in our life. What we need to understand here tonight is this. Peace and holiness are often achieved in our interactions with others. We must not tolerate bitterness in our bodies. And we must not tolerate bitterness, I'm going to say this, stinking up our lives. It's something that we, as Barney Fife would say, we need to nip it in the bud. We really do. Because we see of the harm that it causes to individuals. Too many relationships are destroyed because of a bitter heart. Why is it you see children becoming angry at their parents and walking away? It's because they're bitter. Why do you see moms and dads struggling to have a relationship and on the verge of divorce? And it's because of bitterness. That's normally what takes place. Why is it that we saw here just last night in our own town of Omaha, where a guy would walk into a Target store, and of all places where you and I shop, probably on a daily basis, and he walks into Target and begins to open fire and begin to take out his frustrations with the world and begin to put innocent lives in jeopardy. That takes place because of an individual allowing bitterness to spring up into his life and take advantage of going to a place where everybody else is at and begin to cause havoc. Bitterness is something that destroys many individuals. This isn't said too much from a pulpit, but there are reasons why pastors leave the pulpit within 2 to 3 years. There are some other reasons, and I'll give you one reason right now. One of the reasons why pastors leave a pulpit every 2 to 3 years is this, because they're chasing the money. If somebody was to call them and say, hey, I got a job opportunity here, and it pays this, and I know what you're getting paid here, and so they jump ship, and they go and they begin to chase the money. There's a problem with that. to be honest with you, that shouldn't be taking place in an individual's life. But the other reason why pastors will leave the pulpit within that time frame is because whenever you're dealing with people, you're always going to have accusations come your direction. And normally, you can handle those accusations. But sometimes it becomes so personal that you allow this root to take place in your life and you allow it to grow, and then bitterness sets in and they walk away from the church, and therefore they go from church to church. I've known many preachers who do these things. But relationships are destroyed because of bitterness. So what do we do to stop this process? Class participation time. What do we do to stop this process? Julie. You struggle and struggle because you're allowing that root to take growth. So the key thing, one of them is this, and Julie says it very well, is go to God in prayer. What's another thing that we can do? By the way, I'm going to add to that. Don't just pray for the individual, but pray for yourself. That God would give you a forgiving heart. That God would allow you to be gracious to the individual. Because if God can do that to us, we can do that to them. So what would be another way that we can remove this? That's hard. Who would like to serve the one that you're mad at? There's a lot of truth there. There's a lot of truth there. Pray for them, serve them. Does anybody else have any other thoughts? Jake? React in love. That's so true. I said this the other night. Kurt and I were having a conversation, and it was a different conversation. Him and I know what we're talking about here. I said this to the individual that we're talking to. You can't control what comes out of somebody else's mouth, but you can control what comes out of yours. That's very true. And that would be another way for us to be victorious in this removal of the root. You know, when you got to remove a root, you got to go out and you got to do some work. Who's pulled weeds in here? All of us have probably pulled some weeds in our lifetime. And in order to be successful, unless you're a farmer, you're just going to go out and spray them. Sorry, Isaac. I just got you out of my corner of my eye. I got to throw them underneath the bus here. No. But you got to go out there and you got to pull weeds. But if you don't get it by the root, what happens? It grows back. But not only does it grow back, it begins to do what? It begins to multiply, which is why you got to go out there and you got to cultivate that ground, and then you got to remove it by its root. That's why if I was to see a dandelion in my yard, I don't go out and pull it just because I might miss the root, and then it begins to multiply. We have to, in order to be victorious in our life with this, we need to remove the root. We need to remove the root. Carrying bitterness around, and I believe you'll agree with me on this, but carrying bitterness around in your life doesn't hold the other individual in bondage. Guess who it holds in bondage? It holds you in bondage. So it's not benefiting you to allow these feelings to keep festering in your life Because you have now, if that's taking place, you, I'm going to use a different word, you have now become a prisoner in your own life. Because you're not willing to remove the root, you're not willing to go and seek forgiveness, you're more content with having bitter feelings. I feel bad for people that are constantly angry towards other individuals in their life. I hope that if this is you tonight, I hope that you can realize you're in bondage tonight. And you need to get out of that. I'm going to give you a statement here. I want you to write this down. Unforgiveness is in direct dissension of God. If Christ is willing to forgive us, then you and I should be willing to forgive others instead of being so angry, instead of stewing upon what took place in your life. Just seek forgiveness because Christ forgave. Could anybody repeat the words what Christ said when he was on the cross? No, not that. You're there. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think about that statement. As Jesus is on that cross and he's taken that torture, he's taken that beating upon him for us, every single whip that went to his body, every single thorn that was driven into his head, he was taking that for you, and he says this, and for me, and he says this, Father, forgive them. So if we're not willing to forgive the way Christ did, then we're in direct dissension of God. So that's something for us to think about. I got a little bit ahead of myself with this, but Jesus is the ultimate forgiver. He had every right to be mad. He had every right to be angry to those who persecuted him. By the way, it didn't just take place on the cross. Jesus was beaten before the cross. But it just didn't take place with the whips. It just didn't take place with a crown of thorns. It just didn't take place with the scourging of the beard. But it also took place with words and people spitting upon him as he walked by on the way to Calvary. The ultimate forgiver is Christ. Think about this. If Jesus was to hold bitterness in his life, do you think he would have stepped a foot on that cross? No, he kept going. Why? Because while he was on that road, I can probably just imagine, and my thought is this, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. Every step that he took, forgive them. So he's the ultimate forgiver. Every time we see that he was willing to forgive, even on the cross, he said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There are some people that we can see in Scripture that battled this as well. Bitterness. That had a hard time trying to forgive one another. Can anybody think of two people on their minds right now? Jeff. I can think of Joseph's brothers. Very true. I'm looking for two other individuals. Jacob and Esau. Why did Jacob have to leave? Well, we know what he did. But why did he flee? He fled because he had a brother who was angry with him, and his brother, because he allowed bitterness to settle in his life, what did he do? He wanted to pursue Jacob to kill him. He didn't want to pursue Jacob to say, hey, dude, thanks for making the dinner for Dad. I didn't really want to make it, so, man, you really let me off the hook. No, that wasn't the case. He was angry. He was mad. He festered upon it. He voiced it very clearly to his father. His mother knew what was going to take place. She knew what she did was wrong. And she says, Jacob, you got to go so that your life would be spared. Why? Because Esau was furious and he wanted to kill him. Do you see what bitterness can do in your life? It leads you to a point of, it starts out with something silly. It starts out with just being mad. And then as Julie said, as we fester upon it, we become angry over it. And then as that anger begins to settle in, then that root is continuing to grow, is continuing to deepen inside that soil there. And then bitterness comes in, and then the unimaginable can happen. And this is where Esau was at. There's two other brothers that I can think of too, before Jacob and Esau. Cain and Abel. Exactly. You see what harm this can do in your life, in your family's life, in the family of God. It can hurt a majority of things. So with that being said, Jacob and Esau lost some very valuable time in their life. Time that they couldn't get back. Time that they couldn't go back in time and try to correct their ways. Why? Because of bitterness that was carried on from this event. Just one event. I need to say this. Life is not worth holding grudges. It's not. I have spent so much of my own time holding grudges against individuals that probably didn't even know I had a grudge against them. I told our Sunday school class, I'm going to say it again, I told our Sunday school class this Sunday, there are people in my life that I don't want to talk to. Why? Because they've done me wrong in my mind. But you know what I'm doing? I'm doing exactly what this verse is talking about. I'm allowing bitterness to spring up in my life. It's funny how as you begin to talk about something, and God begins to deal with you directly about it. And then you keep seeing their faces and all those things as if God is just telling you, hey, let it go. Let it go. I even told my wife today, I said, man, if I ever have a chance, I'm going to say this. And you know what? I'm wrong. I shouldn't be allowing bitterness to come into my life, to allow it to take root and carry over into other matters to where it's going to not only hurt myself, but hurt other individuals as well. So what should we do? Well, we should come to a point in life, and that is this, that life, as I just said, is too short to carry around harsh feelings for others. It truly is. The book of James says, life is nothing but a vapor. What's that mean? Here today, gone tomorrow. It's short. And so while we're here in this earth, God's put us here for a reason. And that is, in this particular case, two reasons. Love and forgive. You know, God didn't put us here on earth to hate and to hold grudges. Which is why I said earlier, we're in direct ascension of God if we don't have forgiveness in our life towards others. He put us here to love and to forgive. So how can we presume to have God's protection and blessing in our life if we are living contrary to his commands. It's a good thought for us to ponder on as we leave from here this evening. There is a way to keep bitterness out of our life. This comes as a result of having God being a help in your life. It's like Julie said, go to God in prayer. You know, I'm going to give you a word. The best thing you do when somebody makes you mad is just say, serenity now. You know what I'm getting at. And just go to God in prayer. Don't hold it. Just go to God in prayer. Let him be your help. That's the only way that I'm going to be successful in my life with this. Is saying, okay, God, you know what I want to do. You know my thought processes on this, God. You know my reaction. You know what I'm doing. So, God, please, I need your help. Because I'm hurting not only myself, but I'm hurting others around me. So with this being said, here's what we need to realize tonight. Satan uses this tool to be a driving wedge between husband and wife, between children, between co-workers, between church members, and so forth. He uses this. And folks, unfortunately, he's successful at this. And why is he successful at this? Well, it's going to come back to what I say quite often. Our eyes are upon us and they're not upon him. That's why he's successful. So what can we do? Well, the first thing I always try to do when I'm dealing with folks is this. When I know there's an issue, when I know there's a problem at hand, here's what needs to be done. Seek restoration. You know, it's better just to go to the individual as quickly as possible and begin to try to amend the situation. Well, they started it. I don't care who starts it. Finish it. Make it right. That's the correct way to do it. Don't have so much pride in your life that I'm not gonna be willing to talk because they're the ones who started this mess and this is why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. You're allowing pride to destroy a relationship. Seek restoration, whether you're right or whether you're wrong about it. It's the best way to go. The second thing is this. Always be willing to forgive, even if the other party refuses. And I'm serious about that. Say, man, I forgive you. I don't forgive you. Well, forgive them anyway, amen? Because you're going to have that in your life. But you're setting yourself free. So be willing to forgive, even if the other party refuses. Lastly, I know it's been said a few times with this, but finally, turn the issue over to God. Why do I say that? Because, Gary, you're not going to change my heart. Lindsay, I'm not going to change your heart. But I do know of somebody who can. And that's God. Turn it over to God and let God change their heart. Amen? That's how we can be successful in this area. The last thing that we want to do is walk around being bitter old people. You guys ever watched a movie called Grumpy Old Men? It's very easy to turn into that. It's very easy to turn into that. Keep your eyes on God. Stay focused upon him. Restore and forgive. Well, let's have a word of prayer tonight. And you know what? I'm just going to pray tonight. And we're going to be dismissed. But I want you to take a look around. See who's not here. Pray for them. give them a call. We have some folks who have had some surgeries this week. Pray for them. They're still in the process of being healed. So just take a look around these things. I'm going to say a prayer here and we'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank you for this evening that you've given us. I thank you for the time that you are allowing us to be in your word. I thank you for the young children who are across the way tonight, who are being taught the word tonight. I think of the teenagers that are helping. I think of the adults that are over there helping, teaching, and helping these young people memorize scripture. God, I pray that these young lives that are over there would make a decision sooner in life to serve you. I pray for the ones that are involved over there. I pray for encouragement. I pray for strength as they continue to give of their time to these young people. Lord, I know how precious it is, and I know how meaningful it is to these young people, even though the adults might not see it. But Lord, I know it's meaningful. Lord, I pray tonight for Uncle Greg as he's still recovering and he's here tonight after his surgery a few days ago. And I pray, Lord, that you just continue to give him healing in his body. I think of Mrs. Lidgett tonight, who's been struggling with some bad sinus infection and really having a hard time speaking and breathing as well. Lord, I pray that you just give her healing to her body. I think tonight of Jan, as she just had her surgery Monday, and the recovery that's needed there. I pray that you just continue to watch over her and heal in her body. I think of Mike tonight, who has had a tough go-around for several months now. But God, you are still working. You're still healing in his body. I pray that you just continue to do so. I pray for the Nelsons tonight as they have had some issues in their lives these last couple weeks. God, I thank you for their faithfulness of wanting to be here and serve you. And Lord, if they're not here, they're watching on YouTube. I thank you for them. Lord, I pray for Roseanne. I pray that you just continue to watch over her and strengthen in her body as well. I thank you for the testimony that she's had for so many years and the lives that she has touched, these young people that she's invested her life into. I thank you for them. Lord, I pray that you just continue to be with my mom, that you continue to give her strength in her body as well. Lord, I pray as we leave here tonight, you just watch over us, you give us safety as we go our separate ways. And Lord, I pray that you just bring us back here safely this Sunday, anxious and ready to learn and hear from your word. And I thank you for all that you've done tonight. But before I close, Lord, if there's someone here tonight that is struggling with this issue of bitterness, Lord, I pray that they would just turn it over to you and look to you to give them freedom in their life over this. And I ask you these things, your name, amen.